Hi everyone, this is Steven. Welcome to this new episode of my podcast. I recently made a video called The 10 Most Frequently Asked Questions about Customer Experience. And of course, in the last few years, I received so many questions from so many companies about their customer experience that I had the idea to bundle the 10 most frequently asked questions. And of course, I tried to answer them. And I made a video for that on my YouTube channel, but I also want to share that here with you guys on the podcast channel. So please enjoy this new episode. Hey guys, this is Steven. Thanks for watching this video. In this video, I'm going to talk about the 10 most frequently asked questions in customer experience. I summarized everything that I've heard in the last few years, and I'm going to answer those to you here today. Welcome in this new video. Number one, most frequently asked question. Do all these customer experience strategies also work in B2B markets? Short answer, yes, they do. Long answer, it's of course complex. There are some differences between B2B and B2C, and in customer experience, maybe the main difference is that the human relations in a B2B market are so strong. Many have account managers that really make a difference. And because of the strong human bond, some B2B companies have not invested enough in digital, and because of that, they're a little bit behind. And I think that's what they can learn most today from B2C companies. Think about data as one dimension. Many B2B companies use data now to, for instance, install preemptive maintenance. You see how a company like Kone, for instance, is installing sensors in elevators to make sure that no one gets stuck in an elevator anymore. Spare parts are proactively being brought to a factory based on the data from the sensor. So you see how data is really helping to improve the process, mainly a little bit behind the scenes, but it's helping to improve the customer experience. Think about interfaces. Many B2B companies, I think, should really work on increasing a frictionless experience, where they really understand that also B2B buyers really appreciate an easy-to-use tool. B2B buyers have their mobile phone, they have their apps that they use. That's the standard, also for B2B companies. And that's going to be important to really understand how to use the digital tools to make a difference there. Same with content. You can ask yourself, okay, B2B company and content marketing. There are so many opportunities. I'm fascinated by a company like Maersk, for instance, the huge container ship company. These guys have millions of followers on their social networks. And I mean, this is the commodity of the commodities, a container ship and containers. That's what they do. Millions of followers on their Facebook. And the reason is that they're not talking about their containers, they're sharing stories about their adventures on the sea. They're talking about how they are changing society, how they play a role in the weather forecast around the world. They tell stories that are really fascinating to follow. And I think this is something that a lot of B2B companies underestimate. They're so focused on their product that they forget that their company has a fantastic story to tell that they can share on platforms like LinkedIn, for instance, or YouTube. And that is a place where you can really share your experience with your customers and increase the bond in a more digital way. And then intelligence augmented is an important one in B2B customer experience. Make sure that your B2B salespeople and service people have digital tools that help them to do a better human service. Like in Belgium, we have this fantastic company called Showpad. And Showpad is enabling sales processes. They make sure that salespeople are armed with personalized content that they can just on the spot in a personalized way present and offer to their customers. Without a tool like Showpad, either they come with a similar story everywhere they go, or they have to make PowerPoint presentations over and over again. So I think it's smart to boost the experience for customers to enable your humans with better tools so that they can, you know, excel during that human moment. Frequently asked question, what comes first, customer experience or employee experience? I always talk about customer experience, and then I get the question, Steven, yeah, but what's the link with employee experience? And then they always come up with an example of Amazon saying, yeah, but Amazon may have happy clients, but their employees are unhappy. How is that relationship? Now, when you dive into the research, and I wrote a chapter about this in my latest book, The Offer You Can't Refuse. When you dive into the research, what you see is very simple. You can have happy clients and unhappy employees. That can happen, but that is an exception. There is a very strong correlation between happy employees and happy clients. When you have happy employees, it's almost certain that you will breed happy customers. It's not working in the other direction. It does start from the employee. So if you really ask me what comes first, my answer is employee experience. If you want to create a culture of customer experience, customer centricity, it's important that every employee plays a vital role there. Too often, it's still a small group of people that is involved in that. So as an organization, you need to invest in involving others. It's important to involve teams and let them come up with solutions and ideas to increase the customer experience. And don't just let them come up with ideas, but also give them the power to be part of the implementation of that process. And as a leader, as a customer experience leader, I think it's really important to invest time in convincing people one by one. I don't think there's a shortcut in this. I don't think there's like this golden magical rule that you can apply to make sure that everyone is involved. No, it takes time and effort. And the more personal effort you invest in it, the more people that will be on board. Try to convince them one by one. That's a strategy that takes a lot of time, but it's very effective. Sometimes when I give a talk about digital for an hour, I get this question. Then people say, yeah, but Stephen, we have this client group that's not really digital. Is it then a good idea to invest in all these digital tools that you just talked about? And that's a valid question. And it's a choice you have to make as an organization. Personally, I think you need to try to be inclusive. If you have people that are not part of this digital journey, just try to give them a fantastic service in another way. But don't let that group of customers hold you back to innovate all the way. I think when you talk about innovation in customer experience, you should focus on the leaders of the pack and make sure that you bring value, digital value to them, because otherwise you're gonna slow down your evolution. Focus on those to define where to go, but be inclusive to the others. That would be my advice here. We often look at big technology companies to define excellent customer service, right? And that's also because of people like me, because in the last 10 years, I've given so many presentations where I talk about Amazon and Google and Tesla and all those companies that you all know to explain customer experience. And because of that, they have set some sort of a standard. And it makes sense, because in the last 10 years, it was about mobile, it was about social, about 4G. And those companies really understood how to create a fantastic experience based on those technologies. So it makes sense that we copy-paste from them. I think the answer is yes, we should copy-paste. But at the same time, I would invite you to look at incumbents that are really reinventing themselves. Companies like Disney, companies like Walmart, companies like Target that are really rethinking their business model, that are rethinking their approach towards customers, are so interesting to look at. My current presentations are filled with examples of non-technology companies that really understand how to create a fantastic customer experience. And I would invite you to learn from those as well. Basically, in my opinion, the world is like a safari to look around and to see how companies and people are treating customers. And when I see something that I like, I write it down and it's a new example, it's a new approach that I'm gonna play with. Look at the world like a big safari park and just steal with your eyes and then apply that in your market. Absolutely, go for it. There's a lot of debate between measuring and how to measure customer experience. You need to measure it, obviously. You need to make sure that you know your stuff, you know your data. But to be honest, how to measure it, for me, that's not the most relevant question. If you work with NPS or customer satisfaction, that's not the crucial question for me. The crucial question is, what do you do with that information? How do you translate that back to your organization? Is it just a PowerPoint that you discuss with the board, or do you drill it down to make sure that everyone in the organization knows the feedback of your customers? I think we need to go for the latter. How do you give feedback back to your customers? Do you talk with the detractors, people that give you a low score, and talk with them to understand why? And do you connect with the people who give you a 9 or a 10 to see if they can become even a bigger ambassador of your organization? So the question is not how to measure it, the question is what do we do with the results? And I think that is where there's a huge opportunity to do more and to have a higher impact with that data. Okay, this question builds upon the previous one. I think it's very valuable to learn, and it's very valuable to have personal contact and personal feedback. If someone gives you a 3 on a 10-point scale, talk with those people. Make sure that you understand why, and then come up with a solution and connect back to them. Or maybe the truth is that there's not a good fit between what you do and what they expect, and then you can also communicate that back. But I think it's important to communicate back. Same with the 9 or 10s. Ask them why they like you so much, and ask them what you can do for them to support them even more. Let them become part of your community. And if you manage that in a smart way, you can actually create a huge impact on the market. And the same with employees. Drill down the results to make it as tangible and as valuable as possible for every employee, and then share that knowledge with them on a personal level. Many people believe that in the end, customer experience will be the same in every organization, and that the world will be totally gray and boring because we're all doing the same thing. I totally disagree. That would mean that customer experience is only about optimizing processes. I think that's just the bottom of the story. What you need to do is, of course, install the processes to make sure you have a fluent service. But the difference is not made with the processes. The difference is made with your own identity. It's made by your own culture. The how you implement it will make a difference. And here you need creativity. Here you need positive energy. And that is the differentiator. The process is just the basic need. Good question. I'm going to challenge it. Is there something like a commodity business? Isn't that something that we create by being boring and by not being unique? I believe that every organization has a unique story to tell. Every organization can add services on top of the products that they deliver. And if you are in a commodity market, just figure out what the services are that you can build around it. If you are an insurance company, maybe you can become a partner in living. If you are like Maersk that I talked about earlier, you're not just moving containers from point A to B. No, you're having adventures on the sea, and you can talk about that. So there's always a story, there's always value. And typically in commodity markets, businesses are so focused on product price that they forget the other things that you can add. And by focusing on the other parts, the services, the story, you can make a difference. The privacy question, my friends, it's always there. Can we do all the things that we want to do in customer experience with the privacy legislation? The problem is that we often begin this discussion by looking at the legislation. And I think that's the wrong starting point, because when you do that, you're always staying in the gray zone and you're always trying to optimize your value within the limits of the legislation. Start differently. Don't worry about privacy. Worry about customer value. Ask yourself, how can we create the best possible customer value? And then second question, what kind of data do we need for that? And in many cases, when you want to create a lot of value for a customer, you know, that data will be there and you will be allowed to create that value, and you will have a different starting point. And it's crucial to do that, because I really believe that in a few years from now, legislation about privacy and data will be stricter than today. And because of that, you need to ask yourself, when that day comes, when a customer on their mobile phone can just say, okay, company A, I give you my data. Company B, I don't trust you guys. You cannot get my data. The moment that you can put a filter on that, ask yourself, how will a customer decide which company to give access to data or not? And the answer is very simple. The companies that for now are giving most value back based on the data, those are the companies that in the future will still have access to data. Make sure you are there by being focused on the value you want to create for the customer. So guys, in my experience, these were the frequently asked questions in the world of customer experience. I hope it brought value to you. If you like the video, please like it, share it with your friends, and don't forget to subscribe to my channel. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like my work, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review about this podcast. That always helps in finding new listeners and broadening the audience. So leaving a review is brilliant. Telling someone that they could follow my channel is as good. So thanks for all your support. And in the first place, thanks for listening. Take care.